This is tape number 8 of a 12-tape series of sermon speeches given by Pastor Zhang in California. The topic is Keys to a Victorious Spiritual Warfare. This particular session of message was preceded by a testimony shared by a Christian sister in the church. Today I'd like to share with you my personal testimony, how the Lord helped me to conquer my fear and conquer my anxiety. These are the two strongholds the Lord helped me to conquer. The Lord helped me to break them down. Let me start with the issue of anxiety. And around 1989, my spiritual life was revived, and I started to pursue the Lord. I had developed this strong desire for the Lord. And my work schedule was very busy. So my work schedule was such, I was overwhelmed for continuous about 5 years. So by the time when it was 1994, I had this intense feeling. My body is tensed up with my busy schedules. And for one example is when I brought my daughter to one of the piano recitals, and I experienced this severe tensed up situation with my body and my physical being, and it had a very bad feeling. I just experienced this unbearable restlessness. As a result of all that, because this increasing feeling of tensed up situations, my family brought me to doctor. The doctor prescribed it to me that, well, I can do something, give you something to help yourself out. Is when you feel this tensed up feelings, you can use a brown bag and you breathe, take a deep breath into the brown bags. It will help ease the situations. So I used it, and it only helped it slightly. But that was before I heard the message of waiting upon the Lord, and so I never started practicing this in my life. And one example is once when I went back to Taipei, and a friend in Taipei invited me to a dinner at a restaurant. The arranged time was 6:30 p.m. and it was 6:20. I was still on the street of Taipei somewhere, and I was not familiar with the geographical locations and the layout of Taipei. So I was so tensed up, I was so worried, I felt this intense feeling, and I was so tensed up, I did not know what to do. And even though I had not started practicing waiting upon the Lord, but I still talked to the Lord all times, and Lord, help me, I don't know what to do, what can I do now? And the time is so close, and I don't know where I am, I don't know where I'm going. And so I just talked to the Lord and asked the Lord to help me. I said, Lord, help me. I have only 10-15 minutes. What am I going to do now? The Lord just told me that now, you see, this is a red traffic light, and this taxi was parking over there, was stopping for the light. So you just go over there, ask that driver and ask the passenger in the taxi. The taxi was occupied, by the way. So I went over there, I talked to the driver, and I also talked to the passenger, and both agreed to take me on, which is kind of unusual. So even though I had not practiced waiting upon the Lord had mercy on me, the Lord helped me, so the problem was solved. And I just remembered, I read one book, there's this one message really stuck very deeply in my heart and in my mind. Is it says, the rest precedes the power, and the peace precedes the security. So the doctor told me my anxiety is really a sickness, which takes a while to have it cured, have it taken away. So my doctor was reluctant to prescribe me medication, and he asked me about whether or not I wanted medication to help me out. And I did not want to take it. I know, because once I started on this medication, it's going to be a lifelong thing for me. So I just did not want to do. Then I just heard the message of practicing inner life in our Christian daily lives. I also heard the message about waiting upon God and humble ourselves before God, all that. So I started practicing this inner life. And I started spending time, quiet time and silent time and quality time before the Lord. And it really helped. It really, really helped my anxiety, because I started to feel, I started to experience, I started to sense this rest from the Lord, this unspeakable peace and unspeakable sense of security inside me. And the next thing I want to say is the issue about how the Lord helped me to conquer my fear. And you probably all remember once I shared around the Christmas time, the Lord really taught me a lesson by putting on a stranglehold on my throat while I sang my song. I really rushed it through a song. And a while back, one sister in my church, she was getting married. This young sister was getting married. So she asked me to sing solo in her ceremony. And I was so afraid. I was so fearful, because all of a sudden, right at the instant she asked me, this thought came to my mind is, Lord, are you going to teach me a lesson again? And you want to humble me? Because I often have a feeling is that the Lord has been giving me all sorts of lessons to make myself humble before the Lord and before men. So I had this thought, my mind was occupied with thoughts of fear again. I thought, Lord, are you going to teach me this lesson again? So I was so fearful. I was so fearful all the time. So all the time to the day of the marriage ceremony, I was in this great fear, because I was so afraid that God will teach me a lesson again. And so I prayed, God, are you going to put in on this stranglehold on my throat again and teaching me a lesson to humble myself? Please don't do it. Don't do it. If you want to do that, let me get through, get over with this singing, this solo song. Then you just teach me a lesson. So even half hour before the ceremony starts, I went to that place, and I parked in the parking lot. I was by myself. I prayed to Lord, and the Lord really, I prayed to God, and I just opened my heart to Lord. I poured my heart to God, and I said, Lord, I'm so fearful. And don't make me just humble myself again just during this singing. So I was so fearful, Lord, help me. And the Lord just all of a sudden spoke to my heart, said, well, this is the spirit of fear inside. This is your stronghold. You need to break down this stronghold. In my name, use my name and proclaim my victory to break down this stronghold, which is stronghold of fear inside you. So I just started right away inside my car. I was sitting in my car. I started proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and I cast out the demon of fear, to command the demon of fear to depart from me. And because of that, I started to throw up, even though my stomach was empty, I still threw up some stuff. That's how I struggled against fight this battle of breaking down this stronghold of fear. So since then, I need to be very careful. I learned this lesson is every single day of my life. I need to rely on God. I need to trust in God for everything, no matter big or small, all the issues, all the matters, all the affairs of my life. I need to rely on God for His strength, for His help. And so I need to humble myself before Him and make sure, keep myself, I live in the rest. I keep myself in the presence of the Lord and in His power. And in His presence. So Jesus said, no matter what kind of life we are facing, His strength, His power is always enough. His grace is more than enough for us to get through our every day of life. We thank our Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. I thank you. This is my testimony. Pastor John's message starts here. Well, for the following weeks, you are all welcome to stand up here to share your testimony, how you break down the strongholds of your thoughts, of your mind. Just like she just shared with us is one stronghold is stronghold of fear. But another stronghold you need to break down is the stronghold of fear of being just fixed by our Lord. Well, just brothers, sisters, this is another stronghold. Don't be fearful about it. Don't be afraid of being fixed by the Lord. It's a good thing if the Lord really desires to fix some things in your life and in your characters, in your personality. Be thankful to the Lord. Be grateful to God because God loves you so much. He wants to fix these bad things inside you. I remember Pastor Chin just once he shared this experience with us. And because when he heard other speakers speak, and he had this problem with some of the parts of the message, he said, how can this speaker say something, say such and such a thing, and say this and say that? And later on, God told him, well, it's your turn now. Go up there. It's your turn to speak. When he stood up on the podium, and he did not know what to say, his mouth, his tongue was just simply locked. And that's the experience that Pastor Chin just shared with us. Another example is one Christian brother, he shared with us is because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. And one speaker just came to the church to speak to the congregation. But he is kind of the idea, he is kind of the notion and the beliefs that today's Christian still needs to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So because of this difference of concept and beliefs, So this brother makes fun of some of the remarks given by this pastor. So one day when this Christian brother was spending his quiet time before the Lord just clearly demonstrated to him, and in his vision, the Lord showed to him the face of that speaker. The Lord said, well, this speaker, this pastor, he just dedicated his life to me. He did dedicated his life for my cause. So this is really a stern warning for our Christian brother. And he realized that, yeah, maybe some of the remarks the speaker said differs from his personal belief. But still, this is a faithful servant to the Lord. In the eyes of the Lord, this speaker was a faithful servant. And he devoted his whole life to this cause. Like we already said from last time, our mind and thoughts, we experience fears, we experience jealousy, we experience and contention, all that, and even pride. All these things are coming from the same evil spirit. And these things have a lot to the environment of how we grow up and where we were brought up. And sometimes when we were growing up, our parents argue quite a bit, and then we were often grow up with a spirit of contention. Or they grumble, our parents grumble a lot against some of our relatives or other family members or our distant relatives, and our families were cheated and they were maltreated in this and in that. Because of that, we grow up to house this spirit of suspicion. We become suspicious of people around us. We don't find it easy to believe people in our lives. Other people, when they were in the womb of their mother had a very difficult life, or it was not a good time for the mother to get pregnant, or maybe during the pregnancy, the husband was having a third person, another woman in his life, all that. Because of these wounds and hurts in the mother's heart, the mother was very depressed, the mother was always unhappy, the mother was very despondent. But all these feelings, all these environments, all these thoughts in the mother's mind really deeply affects the fetus, the baby in the womb. So since the mother harbored those bitterness, those grudges against some people, maybe a spouse, maybe other members of the family, maybe even people outside the family, and these bitterness, these despondent feelings were affecting the fetus. So when these small children, when they grow up, they will grow up in lack of a sense of security. in my almost 2 decades of serving the Lord, I found when the people grow up deeply hurt and with very deep wounds in their personal lives, and the Lord has a special blessing for these people. Lord, really, it's His desire to get very close to these people. But unfortunately, very unfortunately, oftentimes these people have themselves very closely shut. They shut to outside help. They shut to outside compassion. They also shut themselves up towards the love of God, the compassion of the Lord, and the help of the Lord, and the closeness of the Lord. But the Lord really is waiting to help them. The Lord is waiting to pour His love onto these people. So brothers and sisters, if you have some deep wounds in your heart, in your life, and in your inner personality, you need to have this belief in you very firmly established in your mind and heart. Lord, because of my previous life, because of my previous experiences, my experiences in my childhood, you love me so much. You have special blessings for me. You have special graces for me. You have this special compassion. You have this special mercy on me. So I need to open myself. And I may be hurt, I may be very careful, I may be wary of others, but I need to open myself up to you, Lord, so you can come to my heart. I invite you to come to me. I invite you to come to me to heal me. I do not need to protect myself, because there's nothing I can do really to help myself or protect myself. All I need is your protection. So I invite you to come into my heart, to come into my life, to heal my wounds, to heal my sicknesses, and to take away my pains and hurts, and you can help me. So remember last time I just mentioned about this book, the title is A Triple Battlefield. This is a very good book. We have ordered this book, so in the very near future, the congregation can buy these books. And in the book, it has some very, very good and strong messages. So we need to be very careful. The book says about it. When we have these thoughts, when we have these negative thoughts toward other people, toward ourselves, or even toward our God, these negative thoughts can be the most powerful weapon used by Satan to attack, used by Satan to break us down, to break our spirit down, so he can build up his residence in us. So brothers and sisters, when things happen, when these unhappy things happen, when these unhappy encountering happens, it depends on how your thoughts work and how your thoughts take the path. If you take the negative path, take the self-protective path, then the stronghold of suspicion, the stronghold of hatred, the stronghold of disbelief will become stronger, will become bigger inside you. But on the other hand, if you take the positive path, you take the constructive path, you receive these unhappiness. Lord, these things happening to me for a purpose, for a cause. Lord, I know everything coming my way into my life, it is out of permission by you. So Lord, things, it is your will, it is your desire, it is your permission to let these things to come my way. Lord, I know you have a purpose, you have a meaning, you have a great planning, you have a purpose behind all this. I just gladly receive them. I just receive them with your grace, in your power, in your glory. Lord, I know you will give me strength, and you will empower me to handle with this, to deal with this. So Christian brothers, it is very important. You and I need to strive, need to just make our every effort to have our spirit connected with that of the Lord. And do not lack the bitterness, do not lack hatred, do not lack contention, do not lack jealousy take control of us. So when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're talking about spiritual battle. It is not just simply open your mouth loud and proclaim in the name of the Lord. Another side of it is to silence ourselves, to quiet down, to come into the close relationship with the Lord, to spend the time with the Lord, to come into the close proximity of the Lord, to just enter into the presence of the Lord. So we all know Satan is the father of lying spirit, the father of liars, and the Satan's spirit is the spirit of liars. So So we need to be very careful. Don't live in this mode of pretense. We need to be honest and we need to be direct. We need to take whatever issue is in this. We need to be honest with ourselves and also honest before God and man. Because this kind of spirit is not—it's just the opposite of the spirit of Satan. If we house the spirit of honesty in us, then Satan will find it is a very unpleasant place for him to live. It's a very unpleasant place for him to establish his residence. And he will simply leave us. But as Christians, we all know, and very unfortunately, but we behave just the opposite way. Oftentimes we succumb to our own feelings. We succumb to our own negative thoughts and our own depressive mind. And oftentimes when we find unhappy things coming our way, we just grumble, we just give in, we just give up, and we just feel suspicious about other people's motives, and we are very suspicious of other people's gestures and facial expressions, all that. For one example, there are three sisters, A and B and C, and they come together, they determine to have this prayer time. And A just found out, sister B and sister C, the two of them, it seems they have a very good rapport between the two of them. They had a very close relationship, and they conversed, they just enjoy their conversation, they enjoy time together. And sister A can easily think the way, well, it looks like the two of them, they have a very good relationship. And I appear to be like an outsider. I'm not with them. I'm not one of them. And so at once a week, the three of them gather together. Not only that, sister B also oftentimes brought some food for sister C. So when the sister A saw all this, and she thinks, well, it's okay with that, because the two of them, they knew each other longer than they knew me, and so it's so natural for them to get together. They just mingle like one person. And when sister B brought food to sister C, and it's also okay. Why? Because sister C is single; she is not married. So that's why sister B just showed compassion, showed love, godly love to another member of the church. She brought the food to sister C. So I want to use this example to see that we need to take control of our thoughts. I know it is difficult, but we need to do that. It is mandatory. It is our task. It is our great mission to try our best, to try our every effort to take control of our thoughts. So Sister A has a very healthy attitude, which means she took good control of her thoughts. So when she saw these things happening, she took the positive path. She took the healthy and the right path, which is a godly path. She controlled her thoughts, and she made sure they were on the right path. And she looked, well, it's okay, because the two of them knew each other longer than they knew me. And it's okay, because Sister C is not married, still single. That's why Sister B showed her Christian love. So this is the right attitude. This is putting, Sister A is putting her thoughts on the good path, which she did not result any hurts or wounds or negative feelings out of the whole situation. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful how we think, how we react to things happening in our lives, how we take the things happening in our lives. So it has a lot to do what kind of spirit we are just harboring in our inner beings. I still remember years back when I started this new job in the USA. And the first day, it took me about 4 hours to type up one simple letter. So the office manager, even though he was not my boss, and he kind of asked in a sarcastic way, he said, did you really graduate from college back in Taiwan? And how come it took you so long to type up a simple letter? And well, my simple answer is, well, yes, I said, I need to really practice. I need to get myself more familiarized with this computer. also many, many years back in Taiwan when I was taking the driving test, and people told me this particular trainer, this particular testing officer was a very rude person. So when we were up the slope, there are two roads. I asked, which road do you want me to take? And he snapped. He simply snapped back at me. He said, "Are you going to ask me this 100 times? You know what? I only asked for one time." But he asked me, "Are you really going to ask me 100 times over there?" And later on, I learned, and he is known for his rudeness, and he is he always responds very terse and rude answers. And some people just fall back. Some people even report him to their superiors. But when I grew up to be a very submissive environment, so I become a very timid person. So because he just snapped back, I cried. I cried, but he continued to be very rude to me. But you know what? You know what? I just passed the test the very first time. And at the time when he snapped back at me, deep in my heart, I just prayed to God. I said, "Lord, even though I'm crying now, but I'm not going to feel hurt because I need it. Because you brought this person into my life. You made this person to be my test officer. It is your permission. It is something you think I needed." So I just passed that test. But I did not just harbor this hurt or any wounds inside me. So brothers and sisters, it is important, very important, how you react, how your feelings, how your thoughts go respond to the happenings in your life. It really makes a big difference what kind of spirit you are building up in your inner being. I think practicing the inner life, it really helps me personally in a great sense. You know, I have been a servant for the Lord for so many years now. Serving for the Lord, you can easily be hurt. Your ego can easily be bruised, and your personality oftentimes is attacked. But I was never hurt. I never harbor any wounds or just wounds or hurts. You know why? Because every time when something unhappy happened to me, I always pray to God. I always lead into the great hands of God. I said, "God, you let this happen in my life. You let this thing come my way. Lord, it is your will. It is your beautiful meaning behind this. I need it. You know I need it. So, Lord, I'm not going to let my thoughts focus on that person, focus on what the person did or what that person said. I know this is what I needed. Lord, you brought this person to me. You brought this thing matter to me. You brought these cutting words to me. Lord, I know that's what I need. At least that's what you think I need. So, Lord, I receive this from you. I just accept these from you. Lord, so just shine your light into my heart. What are the dark areas which needs to be revealed to me, which needs to be dealt with by your great power?" I remember one time another minister, the two of us, we were talking. And I sensed this, so I told her. I said, "It seems you are so tensed up. You are tensed up. You really experienced great difficulties in your service here." And she said, "How did you know?" I said, "Well, I just sensed right away." I said, "Well," and she said, "Yes, I really went through a lot." Then I said, "Well, you probably it's best for you to take some kind of leave of your service field. You need to relax. You need to be spending time with the Lord. Let the Lord heal you. Let the Lord take your pains and wounds away. And otherwise you will have a nervous breakdown in the long run. So you need to do that." So brothers and sisters, let's come back. So the important thing is when people said something to you, when people just gestured to you, when people seemingly treating you not right, things like that happening a lot, happen very frequently in your life, particularly for a minister's life, then what do you do? What do you respond? How do you take? It is so critical. It is so critical, so important. It can be very damaging. It also can be of very good service to your spiritual growth. Another thing is for ministers or even for people pursuing different efforts in their different fields. And so do not focus your thoughts on achieving the results, accomplish some goals. Don't focus on that. The important thing is focus on the process, what God wants you to learn during this process, where you achieve your goal, along the way to serve the Lord, along the way to achieve some kind of results or goals. The Lord wants you to show you His grace, to show you His blessings, to show you His guiding hands. Then it is up to you to focus your thoughts on God's work, on God's grace and God's love. It's in the same book of the Triple Battlefield, it said, and the most powerful weapon, the sneakiest tactics of Satan is to take away your focus, away from the Lord. Anything to divert that focus onto anything else but from the Lord. That's the sneakiest attack, the trick of Satan. So oftentimes when a wife's focus, instead of focusing on the Lord, the wife's focus, the thoughts will be focusing on that another woman, because another woman seems to enjoy the company of her husband. So things like that. Or maybe for some wives, and their thoughts are oftentimes focused on the dealings with their mother-in-laws, the difficulty in the relationship with their mother-in-laws, all that. So this is the trick played by Satan. Satan wants you to focus on people instead of focus on God. Focus on people's words. Focus on people's negative dealings, these negative deeds and words, instead of on the grace of God. So, Christians, once when we are focused, focus of our thoughts are no longer on our Lord, on the Lord, on Jesus Himself alone, then on anything else, then we are in trouble. We're in trouble. Our spiritual life will be unhealthy, and our egos, our personalities, our characters will easily be bruised. And sometimes our fellow Christians in the church can really affect us very deeply. For example, one Christian, it seems he appears to be a very selfish person, but once when the church morning service starts, and it seems he sings very loud, he shows so much passion in his singing and in his worship, and the Christian next to him may be thinking, well, it's all just show off. It is also just pretense, a facade. And if you harbor these thoughts, and then you focus on the negative side, on the weakness of fellow Christians, and you do not deal with it, then these feelings will grow, and they will grow to become a stronghold. Then you will be in deeper trouble. So just imagine that. Because this Christian loves the Lord, so that's why he sings loud. He just expresses he pours out his love for the Lord. Just imagine in your life, when you say to your spouse, because you love your spouse, you say, honey, but can you imagine you say to your spouse, which you love, you say, honey, hi. I remember years back when I became first a Christian, and I did not know how to pray. I even wrote the exact words of my prayer down so I can read my prayer just article. But that means I did not have a close relationship with the Lord. Now I have this loving relationship with the Lord. I don't need that anymore. I just open my mouth just like talk to a family member. Then all these emotions naturally flows out. And when you pray with emotions. When you pray, you pray with love. You pray with your heart. So brothers and sisters, it's so natural. It's so natural. So do not let your focus of thoughts be spent on other people's weakness, on other Christians' pretense, on other Christians' some loose ends. Yes, we are all imperfect. All Christians, we all have imperfections. So don't let our focus of thoughts spend on other people's imperfections, particularly other fellow Christians' imperfections. One Christian shared with me, and he was very sharp and very critical, but he is critical of other people all the time, particularly other Christians in the church all the time. Then later on, God showed him, because he had a spirit of criticism, and God just finally showed him, said, well, if you feel critical about one person, you just go to that person and ask that person to pray for you. Just do that. And he was so surprised that God told him to do that. But he obeyed. He obeyed. So he went to that person he felt critical about. He asked the person to pray for him. Then his life, he started to experience something entirely different. First, he found he himself, he was humiliated in the sense that he was so humbled before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I really sinned against you and against the people. And he confessed the sin before the Lord. And since he started doing that, he found that he became less and less critical of other people. Not only that, because of his attitude changed, his mind changed, his heart changed, he started to experience more and more abundant presence of the Lord within him. Also, parents, be careful. And if you are critical of other people, and without realizing it, very soon you will find that your children are critical also. They grow up to be a critical person or critical people. Your children will follow your steps because that's the way you are. That's the way you behave in your families. So just subconsciously, that's how you just brought up your children. That's how your children will become to be. That's why we being Christians, we need to ask our Lord all the time to shine His light, particularly to shine His light to light these darkened areas. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. It says they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and appointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So here it says what disciples did is they preached the gospel first. They asked people to repent first. So when we want these strongholds to be broken down, when we want these evil spirits to be casted out of us, the first thing we need to do is to repent before God and repent before men. Remember in the Gospels, every time when Jesus said something about the Pharisees and Jesus said to the Pharisees, what normally did he do? He normally said something, pointed out the dark side of the Pharisees, and the Bible recorded almost most of the time the Pharisees responded the way is they just hated him. They hated him. They tried to find a way to have him killed. So Christians today, we need to really search ourselves. We need to ask ourselves this very stern question. Do we behave like these Pharisees? When we are pointed out some of our dark areas, our weaknesses, what do we respond? What do we respond to these corrections? How do we respond? Do we respond just like these Pharisees respond? It's like when we come to the Sunday service. And you being a Christian, you can respond to the message like this. You say, okay, today's message, I get so angry, I'm so mad because today's speaker's message is all speaking about me, all talking about me, all just giving me a very hard time. So I'm so mad now, I'm not going to come to church anymore. This is one way. On the other hand, the same Christian can respond in this way. Okay, Lord, I thank you so much. I praise your great name. Today's message is really for me. This message is just really like a piece of light. It stepped right into my heart. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. I need this cutting message because that's my dark area. That's my dark corner which needs to be brought to daylight so I can deal with this area. I can deal with these issues. These are my sickness. These are my spiritual diseases which needs to be healed, which needs to be helped by you, which needs to be worked through by you, Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, it's important thing is the first thing we need to repent before God. Before we can do anything in our spirit, we need to repent. Yes, it is painful. It is painful when people just come to us with corrections, or pastors, ministers, our family members come to us with corrections or pointing out some our weaknesses or dark areas which needs to be looked at. So brothers and sisters, yes, it is painful. But what our response, our thoughts should respond this way is, Lord, I need this. I really needed this. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this person. Lord, I thank you for these words. Lord, I thank you for bringing this brother to me to point out to me that the areas, the weaknesses that I need to look at. Thank you. I thank you because I need this correction. Lord, I thank you. I praise your name. In the same book of Triple Battlefields, it says, yes, when God cast the demons of suspicion or jealousy out of you, but if your thoughts still work the same old way, you are still working in the negative path, your thoughts are still on the negative path, then it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you at all. Not only that, these demons, they were cast out before. They will come back. They will come back to haunt you. They will come back to reestablish their stronghold in your body, in your spirit. Because why? Because your thoughts are not changed. Your mind is not changed. You did not just change the right path. You are still going the old way. You really need to make a decision to change your thoughts. So brothers and sisters, you and I all know thoughts belong to ourselves. Our thoughts belong to us. So we really need to make every effort to take control of our thoughts. Don't let our thoughts wander, particularly along the negative path, the unhealthy path. We need to take strict control of our thoughts. Because when we really want our thoughts to go the right way, and we feel uncomfortable, we feel something is very difficult, we feel we have a hard time, we feel we have this struggle, but if we just follow our thoughts, we succumb to our thoughts, we let our thoughts wander and go the old way, we enjoy it. Let's turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Important, look. See, verse 9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So when we just fight this spiritual battle, fight this spiritual warfare, the best thing, the best weapon, the most powerful weapon we have in our hands is to focus our minds, focus our thoughts on these things which is laid out here in these verses, which is true, which is noble, which is right, which is pure, which is lovely, which is admirable, which is excellent or praiseworthy. Since I became a servant of the Lord for this many years, oftentimes these thoughts, these things remain, the things remain in my thoughts are the good, beautiful testimonies of our brothers and sisters shared with me for all these many years. So when I talk about our thoughts, what we should keep in our thoughts, in our mind, is not only the messages, it's not only the teachings from the pulpit, but also these touching testimonies shared by the fellow Christians. These are very important. But unfortunately, I found that in our church, for some reason, people like to borrow the tapes of messages, of topics, of workshop, all that. But these tapes of testimonies, the personal testimonies, personal experience sharing, these tapes are not as often used, as often borrowed. I don't know why. I don't know why. And I thought about it. I give some thought to it. The only reason I can come up with is probably personal pride. Probably when we heard other people's testimony, other people's sharing of their personal experience, probably you think, well, I have more or less the same experience. I can share something along that line also. So the important thing is to keep our thoughts pure and noble. So when you read a newspaper, don't read too much of those violent news or criminal news, all that. Or when you watch movies, don't watch those ghost movies or gory movies. Last year when I went back to Taiwan, and I noticed my brother and his sons and his children, they were watching these ghost movies, these gory movies, spooky movies. I said, brother, don't do that. Don't just let your children watch these movies. My brother responded and said, well, took it very lightly. He said, well, it's okay. It's okay. Nothing is going to be wrong. And that very night, his children experienced, one of the child experienced a nightmare. So it is very, very critical for us to keep our thoughts pure and noble, like the verses just taught us here. So it depends upon how you think, how you think about people, how you think about issues in your life. It can either become become an evil spirit's stronghold, or become your protection against them. Let me repeat. How you think about people, how you think about issues and affairs in your life can either become the stronghold of the evil spirits or become the protection against them. So when things happen in our life, when people come to us, when people talk to us, when these negative words, negative things happen in our lives are coming our way, if we take our thoughts, we control our thoughts on the healthy and the right path, then all these things happening to us, all these attacks coming our way, and we have a good protection. We developed this good protection from the way we just focus our thoughts on. On the other hand, if when these same things coming our way, coming out into our lives, we just let our thoughts wander along the wrong path and unhealthy path, then we just open ourselves up so evil spirits can come into us and establish a stronghold. Look at verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So he also teaches, not only we just heard the messages, not only we learned different teachings through Bible study groups, learned all the good things, that's not enough. That's not enough. The more important part, or the second part of what we learned, what we heard, is to put all these things into practice. That's important. So brothers and sisters, I really just charge you, I just encourage you, just humble yourself, just take those tapes of a personal testimony, just listen to these tapes. Why not? Because when you listen to people sharing their personal experiences, sharing their testimonies, you can learn a thing or two from their experiences. And these experiences will shine light into your spirit. Maybe these problems are just your same problems. Maybe these fears are your fears. Maybe these weaknesses are your weaknesses. Maybe these sinful natures are your sins. are your sins in your spiritual life? These are the areas you need to look at. These are areas you need to deal with. These are areas you need to ask the mercy and the power of the Lord, the power of the Spirit to come into your life, come into your spirit to help you to fight this spiritual battle. Because so oftentimes I personally find the testimony shared by other Christians, I learned quite a bit. I learned some skills, some tactics, and some techniques that I can use to fight my spiritual battle. And I did even follow quite a few examples, and I find it worked for me wonderfully. It did work for me wonderfully. So, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. A while back, I made a phone call to this Christian lady back in Taiwan. About a year or two ago, she was gravely ill. She was very, very ill, and her family brought her to hospitals and doctors for various tests and a diagnosis and prognosis, all that. Then ultimate result is nobody really had a handle on what exactly happened. But the ultimate proclamation or the sentence on these things is she was dying. She was dying. So there's nothing medical that can be done to help out. And she had a limited time to live. So they sent her home. And because of that, she went home and she was determined to spend more time with the Lord, with whatever the rest of her life was left on this earth. So she spent her time, but she spent 3 hours as soon as she got her home. She spent 3 hours before the Lord in silence, in solitude. And during these 3 hours, the Lord said to her, well, you need to stand up, rise, stand up, don't lie down in your bed. You need to fight your spiritual warfare. I will help you. I will help you. You need to fight against the doomsday proclamations of the doctors of the medical science. You need to find this spiritual battle. So she just followed God's guidance, and she was determined to fight this great fight. And she refused to lie down in bed. So even though sometimes she experienced these bouts of extreme weakness, but she just sat down instead of lying down in bed. She sat down in the chair. She just struggled. She just fought this battle. She said it took her 3 or 4 weeks just to fight the negative effects of the doomsday proclamations of the doctors. So, brothers, for us Christians, the proclamation of the doctors is not the ultimatum decision. It's not the ultimatum fate for us. Our fate is in the hands of the Lord. Our Lord is a supernatural God. What he can do supersedes reality. What he can accomplish supersedes science. It's way beyond science can explain. So important thing is how we spend our thoughts on it is important. If we spend our thoughts on negative things, if we spend our thoughts on gossip against the church, gossip against other Christians, and if we spend our thoughts on these filth, on this trash, then since we harbor this trash in our spirit, then the spirit of trash, the spirit of filth, we all know that's the spirit of Satan, will come into us. Spirit of Satan. Satan will find an easy ground to establish his residence, to establish his stronghold. So as soon as you heard those gossipy words and you heard these negative words, you need to fight against these. You need to get yourself far away from these things, from these words. Christian brothers and sisters, that's why Paul taught us we need to keep those noble things and pure things, true things, right things, and these lovely things, admirable things in our thoughts. So that Christian lady, as time goes by, that Christian lady became better and better and healthy, miraculously, without any healing. And she became a complete healthy person. The unknown disease was completely gone. The problem is gone. The stronghold was broken down. So, brothers and sisters, it's important for you and I to come to the Word of God all the time, to come to the Word of God every day. Shortly before our winter retreat, maybe a couple of days, I had this cold problem. I started to experience signs of coughing, and I was a bit worried. And as soon as I experienced this worry, this concern, this anxiety, I immediately proclaimed the victory of God. I just spent my time with the Lord. I waited upon the Lord. The Lord gave me this message. Said, "I am your life. I am your life." I said, "Yes, Jesus." I responded, "Yes, Jesus, you are my life. You are my life. How can I be unhealthy? How can I be weak? How can I be infirm? Lord, you are my life. Jesus, you are my very life. I proclaim in your great victory. I wait upon you. I rely on your strength. I rely on your power." And shortly after that, I have this assurance that Lord healed me. So I just shared with one sister next to me. I said, "Sister, the Lord healed me." And later on, I still had a few coughs. But as soon as I had this cough, I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of cough depart from me. I command the cough depart from me because I'm healed by Jesus. I am healed. I'm certain I'm healed. I believe I'm healed because the Lord said so. So cough depart from me. Cold, depart from me. Sore throat, depart from me. Because Jesus, you are my life. Jesus, you are my life. Jesus, you are my healthy life. I cannot be sick because you healed me of all my sickness, of all my diseases. I refuse to succumb to my negative thoughts. I refuse to succumb to my worry, to my concerns, to my suspicion." So I just said, "Lord, in your name, with your great power, I can accomplish anything. I can accomplish anything, including fighting against this cough, fighting against this common cold." So what we have in our thoughts, and that's how we will behave in our lives. What we just focus our thoughts on, then that's how, what kind of person we will become. So that's why Bible taught us we need to have those true things, noble things, pure things in our minds all the time. We need to focus our mind on those lovely things. There was this elder sister in Northern California. She had a cancer situation. So she told her younger sister in Taipei. And her younger sister was very worried, very concerned. And since she got the news, and she was so worried, so concerned, so anxious, she started to feel that, well, since my sister have cancer, I may develop cancer also. And she was so stricken by these thoughts, these negative thoughts. And she started to feel bad about here, about here, and there. And she started to feel discomfort here and there. And not long after that, and she went to the hospital, she just had a test, and true enough, she also had a cancer. She also had a cancer. And because she harbored these negative feelings, she had her thoughts only focused on those negative feelings, negative thoughts, and on anxiety, on fear, all that, because of she died before her elder sister. And I remember one time I went to Linliang Church, and I was very touched and by the worship leading of one sister. And later on, when the service was over, she just came to me. She gave me this book. This book is about herself, how she just overcame this very bad car accident, the tragedy of a very bad car accident. I read a book. I realized, wow, she really went through a lot, and she came out victorious. She came out a victor. She came out a conqueror, and with the power of God, of Jesus. she had a really, really bad car accident. And the back seat crushed on her body. And because of she had a broken spine and spinal cord. And her car accident was just happened outside one American family. So the owner of that house, they saw this car accident. They come out of the house because they saw she lied in the car after the accident, and she looked so horrible. Her nose was dislodged, and her nose simply disappeared into her face. She had one swollen black eye. Half of the upper lip was completely torn off, and her right face was swollen beyond any proportion. And she had a broken arm, and she had a broken liver, broken kidney. She also had water in her lungs, and she had her skin needs to be grafted. And hers was a really, really horrible case beyond belief. So for many, many weeks, the couple, the owner of that house, right beside the car accident, had nightmares because of this horrible sight. And of course, then after that accident, many churches, many Christians, they joined and prayed for the recovery for this sister. This sister went through many, many major surgeries, including cosmetic surgeries. She had bad fevers. Her whole head was swollen, and she had a very, very bad time for a few months. But during her hospital stay, she was never down. She was never depressed. She was never low. She never allowed, she was a good Christian. She never allowed the negative thoughts to linger in her mind and her heart. And the first day when she was able to move five steps ahead, then turn around with the help of assistance of the nurses, she stepped five steps again. She came back to her bed. She just praised the name of the Lord. She hallelujah. She praised. She sent songs to the name of the Lord. And she showed her gratitude to the nurses, to the doctors. And the nurses and doctors, they were so touched. Even though the progress she made was so minute, so small. But she was so happy. She was so positive. And she gave thanks to the Lord. She praised praised the Lord. She was so grateful to the Lord, also to the medical personnel. And she never allowed any negative thoughts. She never allowed any trace of negative attitude to be demonstrated, to be shown before the doctors and the medical professional. So these medical professional people, they were really touched. They were greatly touched. And later on, they just witnessed it. They witnessed it. For that emergency squad, she was the only person who walked outside that squad herself on her own. She was the only person walked outside that on her own. So when I talked to her later on, when I looked at her very closely, I just noticed that some scars, some very light scars left on her face. Because she had one synthetic eye now. But she said to me herself, she said, "Now I don't know. Even though the car accident was very bad, it was very, very bad. It was very tragic. It was very terrible. It was very horrifying. But I think since the Lord allowed this happen to me, there was a purpose. For Lord, there is this purpose. I don't know. But I need to, whatever the rest of my life on this earth, I need to live for my God. I need to live my life for my God and for Him alone." This is the right attitude of this sister. This is the case of our sister, which focus on her thought and mind on the right path. Control her thoughts and mind to make sure they are on the right path. So, brothers and sisters, against the same happenings, against the same words, against the same people, before, in front of the same affairs and issues in our lives, we can take two paths. We can control our thoughts, our mind on the healthy path, on the positive path. We can also succumb to our thoughts, to the guidance of our own thoughts. Our own thoughts are normally wayward thoughts. We can follow them. We can follow our thoughts, follow our heart on a negative path, on the negative thoughts, on the depressive things, on these negative things, on these grumpy things. Then the life in our spirit will be completely two different pictures. And one is we will develop this protection against the attacks from the evil one, against the attacks from Satan. On the other hand, if we let our thoughts wander, let our heart wander, we just open ourselves, let these negative and depressive thoughts linger in us. Not only that, let them develop and grow in us into strongholds. Then we can succumb to the control of the evil one. So this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual warfare. And our spiritual life, our spirit within us, is one of the fiercest battlegrounds. So how we think today, it may be what we let our thoughts linger. We let our thoughts stay yesterday. So it is very important. So what we have in our mind, we will speak out. So we also watch our own words out of my mouth. If we just utter those encouraging words, supportive words, positive words, and edifying words, and helpful words, then that's what thoughts we have in our hearts and in our minds. But if we have critical words, we have sharp words, we have coarse words, we have damaging words, we have hurting words, then that's what thoughts we have in our hearts, in our minds. So may God help us. May God help us fight this great spiritual battle in our thoughts, in our minds. Our thoughts, our mind is one of the most tough, most difficult, yet most important battleground. It is a battlefield. We need to fight this great spiritual battle and make sure, with the great power of the Holy Spirit, with the guidance and help and blessing of our Lord, we will come out as a victor. Let's turn to the hymn book 184.